Well, praise the Lord. It's wonderful to be in his house today. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 4. Now, the Bible opens with the history of creation. God, the creator of all things, creation, his handiwork, his masterpiece. How glorious and how awesome. The creation account. Chapter 2 tells of the Garden of Eden. Life in God's garden. The beauty and state of a sinless world. The pure and holy connection between God and man. Untainted relationship. We come to Genesis chapter 3, the temptation and fall of man. Mankind, humanity, giving in to the temptation of the enemy, the deceiver, the serpent, the devil. Humanity touching, holding and taking to themselves and consuming that which God commanded them not to. Sin entering into the world. Sin and the separation between God and man. A few pages in, and humanity is already in need of rescue. Adam and Eve were sent out of the garden because of sin, disobedience, rebellion. But God didn't send them out empty-handed. In his great mercy, he sent them out with the promise of his son Jesus, the one who would come to earth to pay the ransom for humanity. Genesis chapter 4 shows us the grievous effects of sin and how it poisons the heart of humanity. Brothers, the seed of Adam and Eve, the first man and woman created, we read of two brothers, Cain and Abel. And a time came, they each brought an offering to the Lord. If you know the history, Abel's offering was accepted. Cain's was not. And the Bible says that Cain was angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord spoke to him, Genesis chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, that is toward you. But you should rule over it." The son, a son, here's a son of the ones whose disobedience and rebellion cemented the fall. Would he heed the words and caution of the Lord? Would he accept this counsel? Would he take his anger and fallen countenance before the Lord that it might be purged? Verse 8, "Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him." Hardly a few pages into the holy book, and look at the depravity of humanity. And the Lord heard a sound. The ground was crying out. The blood of the first martyr was crying from the ground. Verses 9 to 15, then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And he said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment, my iniquity is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. It shall be hidden from your face. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth, and it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me." And the Lord said to him, "Therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold." And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. Even here we see the incredible mercy of the Lord. If we read further in the chapter, it tells of the family line of Cain. And verse 23 records another murder, slaying of a young man. Murder in the heart of humanity. And then we come to verses 25 and 26. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. "For God," said she, "hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also was born a son, and he called his name Enosh. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." Call upon the name of the Lord. There is no other solution. There is no other answer. Seth, one of three brothers, his brother Abel murdered before his time, and his living brother, a fugitive, a vagabond on the earth. You know, I can only imagine the weight Adam and Eve carried as they witnessed and felt firsthand the ramifications of their actions. Fallen creation, wayward humanity, a murdered son, a murderer son by his own doing, and a new son named Seth. Compensation. Well, the Bible records that Seth grew and many years passed, and Seth had a child. And a grandson was born into the family, Enosh. A man, literally man. Son of Seth, the grandson of Adam, three generations in. Verse 26, then men begin to call on the name of the Lord. The NLT, at that time, people first began to worship the Lord by name. The New Century Version, at that time, people began to pray to the Lord. The Message paraphrase, that's when men and women began praying and worshiping in the name of God. The Amplified, to Seth also a son was born, whom he named Enosh, mortal man, mankind. At that same time, men began to call on the name of the Lord in worship through prayer, praise, and thanksgiving. The Living Bible, it was during his lifetime that men first began to call themselves the Lord's people. Literally, this man was the first to invoke the name of Jehovah. Mortal man, mankind, our only hope is in calling on the name of the Lord. You know, much could be said concerning what might have driven people to call on the name of the Lord three generations in. I wonder if Adam and Eve found themselves rejoicing at a generation in the earth, a generation that had come, a generation of people that were calling on the name of the Lord, knowing their need, knowing their desperate state, knowing the sin in their hearts, knowing the hopelessness of humanity without God, and the recognition of the Lord in the power and majesty of his name. And all of a sudden there was a sound in the earth. It was the sound of worship and prayer and praise and thanksgiving. And it's the sound this world so desperately needs. It's a sound each generation must take up. Each successive generation. You know, it's incredible how quickly things can slip and spiral out of control. Genesis 5, the family line of Adam. Follow the line, and we read of Seth, Enosh, and so on. And we come to Enoch, a man who walked with God. And we read in Methuselah, a picture of the long-suffering of the Lord. And at the end of the chapter, we find mention of the man Noah. Genesis 5, verse 32, when Noah was 500 years old. And Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Don't skip over the genealogies. Then we turn the page to chapter 6. You know, humanity wasn't doing so well. Here we are again. Such wickedness in the earth. Genesis 6, beginning of verse 3, and the Lord said, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever. For he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years, answering everything." There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, all the day. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, "I will destroy man whom I have created, from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them." But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. A remnant. A man. A family. Verses 9 to 12, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. That is blameless. Or having integrity. Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Well, you can read about it. The Lord said he was going to bring judgment. Judgment upon the earth, and there would be a flood. And he called the man Noah to build an ark for the saving of his household. Noah found grace, a remnant, a man, blameless in a generation, a man who walked with God, a man of integrity, a family. Noah followed the instructions of the Lord, line upon line, precept upon precept. Holy blueprints. And this preacher of righteousness was a witness in the earth and no doubt witnessed in the earth. You know, people should have heeded the warning. How quick humanity spirals out of control. This sixth cycle. They should have heeded the warning. Mortal man should have called on the name of the Lord, invoked the name of the Lord, repented. They should have turned to prayer. They should have turned to praise and worship. They should have offered thanksgiving, but they carried on. Yeah. As the days of Noah were. They carried on. Everyone was carrying on as usual, having a good time. Right up to the day that Noah boarded the ark. And God shut the door. God sealed the door. One family was spared, and the creatures that had been gathered into the ark. Well, here we are today. Many generations removed from this time in history. Time in history when one family honored the Lord, served the Lord, prayed and praised and worshiped and offered thanksgiving unto the Lord. And the Bible records that they came out of the ark on the other side of the flood. You know, since that time, many generations have come and gone. Here we are today, many generations removed, and look at what humanity has come to. Sixth cycle. Depravity. Corrupt. Violent. Self-focused. Thieves. Murderers. Disobedient, unrighteous, unholy, unwilling to bend, prideful, sure of self. Generations removed, and still there is only one answer. There's only one hope for humanity. call upon the name of the Lord. Remember the promise of the Lord, the promise given to Adam and Eve? Man, I'm sure they were clinging to that promise. It's the promise that the Lord would send a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Messiah. He's the only hope for humanity. You know, the cross is the center of it all. All those before it look to it. And all those after it look to it. Oh, we call on the name and the names of the Lord. And now how beautiful. Now we call on the name of Jesus, the name above all names. Call upon the name of the Lord. You know, the vast majority of humanity is carrying on. Everyone's having a good time. Carrying on in sinfulness and waywardness, rebellion, wickedness, self-endeavor, self-indulgence, depravity, corrupt ways. What did Jesus say? Matthew 24, beginning at verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be, the second coming of Jesus Christ. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day, the very day, Noah entered the ark. And did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. People should be calling on the name of the Lord. People should be invoking the name of the Lord. People should be turning to prayer and worship and praise and the offering of thanksgiving. Listen, the sands of the hourglass of time are slipping away. The second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The day will come. Wake up, humanity. Wake up, nations. Wake up, nation. Wake up, fathers and mothers. Wake up, sons and daughters. Wake up, grandsons and granddaughters. Wake up. There is only one who can save us from self. There is only one who can save us from ungodly men. There is only one who can save us from the enemy, and there is only one who can deal with the sorrows of death and the sorrows of hell. If you aren't His, and you're in this room today, you are in distress, even if you don't feel it or acknowledge it. And you have only one hope. The vast majority of humanity just carrying on life the way they want to do it. Their own set of blueprints, or, you know, they've taken God's and tweaked them. Lines missing and precepts missing. Carrying on. Psalm 18, verses 3 to 6, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him even into his ears. May the Lord make this time as the days of Enosh, that people would begin calling on the name of the Lord. Like Enoch, walking with the Lord. Should the Lord tarry longer, like Methuselah, understanding the long-suffering of the Lord. Like Noah, just and perfect in a generation, walking with the Lord, finding grace in his eyes. And those of us who know this as our lifeline, let's never stop calling on the name of the Lord, walking with the Lord, line upon line, precept upon precept, holy blueprints. Let the rest carry on. Pray for them. Encourage them. But should they choose to carry on, let us carry on in right manner. Let the world carry on. And should they so desire to reject the mercy and grace of God, let them go to hell. For rejecting the love and kindness and mercy and grace of a holy God, of a king that came from a foreign land. A king that came to serve, to give his life as a ransom. Even when he walked the earth, you know, the vast majority of humanity just carried on. He's Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, our hope, our Savior. And you know what they wanted to do? They wanted to lynch him. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to silence him. Some followed. There was a remnant. Some listened. Some turned. But the vast majority of humanity carried on, corrupt, full of themselves. So sure of themselves that they were right. Jesus already saw it, but he said, you know, as the days of Noah, as the days of Noah. I don't know what your end time theology is. We're not going to get into that. But as the days of Noah, what does it say? Just carrying on. Marrying, giving in marriage, having a good time, living life, self-focused, corrupt, unholy, unrighteous. It's going to be the same for many. And for those that don't listen and receive the message and receive Jesus, it'll be the same. They will carry on to the very day that Christ returns, and they will not know when he floods into the earth in all his glory and majesty. And the door sealed. No more entering in through Jesus. Period. We have our enemies. We have our sorrows. We know the floods of ungodly men. We know the snares, and we know distresses. These are a part of life, part of the necessary working out of faith. Reading from the message, I sing to God the praise loftily and find myself safe and saved. The hangman's noose was tied at my throat. Devil waters rushed over me. Hell's ropes cinched me tight. Death traps barred every exit. A hostile world. I called to God. I call to God. I cry to God to help me from his palace. He hears my call. My cry brings me right into his presence, a private audience. Call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Saving for the sinner, for there is salvation in no other name. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. Call on the name of the Lord Jesus. Saving for the sinner and saving for the saint. Acts 2:21, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Perhaps you're in the room today, you're listening to this, and you're like, I'm way too far gone. You don't know what I've done. Jesus paid your ransom. He took it all on him. All your sin, every dirty thought, every vile word, every rogue motive in the heart. That act of cheating, thievery, murder. You're not outside of the grace of God unless you choose to remain there. He loves you. In the act of the cross. It also says that the Lord is angry at the wicked every day, so we must balance the message. He extends a gift to humanity in the form of Jesus Christ. The message of the gospel, the good news. He's our only hope. You got to receive him. You got to open the gift. Romans 10:13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Psalm 86:5, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Psalm 116:2, because he is in inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. Psalm 17, verses 6 to 9, I have called upon you, for you will hear me. O God, incline your ear to me and hear my speech. Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand, O you who save, that is, deliver those who trust in you from those who rise up against them. Keep me as the apple or the pupil of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings from the wicked who oppress me, from the deadly enemies, my deadly enemies who surround me. Call upon the name of the Lord. Psalm 55:16, as for me, I will call upon my God, and the Lord shall save me. Jim Cimbala said these words, the pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle, great move of God. He said, persistent calling upon the name of the Lord breaks through every stronghold of the devil. For nothing is impossible with God. For Christians in these troubled times, there is simply no other way. His name is salvation. His name is healing. His name is provision. His name is strength. His name is deliverance. His name is protection. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe, literally set on high. People should be calling on the name of the Lord. Wake up. They should be praying. invoking the name of the Lord, worshiping and praising, gathering to the houses of the Lord, gathering to the prayer services, getting up in the morning and awakening the dawn by praying and worshiping the Lord, and throughout the day and offering thanksgiving, invoking his name into their world and into their life. It's our hope and it's our lifeline. Let's have the worship team return today. It's time to call upon the name of the Lord. Then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. That is to call out, recite, read, cry out, proclaim the name of the Lord. Utter a loud sound to summon, invite, call for, call and commission, appoint, call and endow. This is where our help comes from. This is where life comes from. Listen to Psalm 95, verses 6 and 7. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand, those under his care. Psalm 121, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? Where does your help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be removed, to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. Can you receive the word of the Lord today? The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Wake up, world. Wake up, nations. Wake up, Canada. Wake up, provinces. Wake up, cities. Wake up, homes. Wake up, fathers and mothers, and sons and daughters, and grandfathers and grandmothers. Wake up. Wake up. Grandsons and granddaughters, wake up. Call upon the name of the Lord, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Call upon the name of the Lord. Invoke the name of the Lord. You know, you receive that in this manner. Therefore, pray. If you're struggling to fill an hour, that'll do it for you. You don't really know what to pray. It's a good pattern. Yeah, and there's that part on the back where you invoke the name of the Lord. You call upon the name of the Lord. Jehovah Jireh, provider. Jehovah Rophe, healer. Jehovah Nissi, victory. Jehovah M. Kadesh, sanctifier. Jehovah Shalom, peace. Jehovah Rohi, shepherd. Jehovah Tzidkenu, righteousness. Jehovah Shammah, felt presence. Call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. So shall we be saved from our enemies. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and the God of our salvation be exalted. Call upon the name of Jesus. Things happen when we call upon the name of Jesus. Breakthrough, deliverance, freedom, victory, healing, miracles, signs, wonders. Open doors that no man can shut, and shut doors that no man can open. Let's stand in the house today. My, how we need you, Lord. Let us feel that desperate need. Jesus. Won't even now.